This is CliffCentral.com.
Ah, yes. Good morning, everybody. Cold Monday. Cold, freezing Monday. Freezing titties falling off Monday. It's so cold. Good morning, everybody. What? You think that's a good song? Like, turning into a hit?
Oh, absolutely. No. That's what we were waiting for.
Come on. If Bad and Bougie can be hit, why can't I? You know?
I just think Sia always giggles when he hears the word titties.
Titties. Titties.
It's just an odd word.
Well, yeah, because your reaction is put them away. So that's why you think it's odd.
No, well, men can also have titties.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they can.
A.K.A. moobs.
You people are so sick.
Yes, we are.
Is this how we start? You telling us about your weekend?
Yeah. What did you get up to? Huh? What's happening to
you? No, I am not familiar with moobs. May I just put that out
there? What happened
to
you? How was your weekend? What did you get up to?
I stuck to everything I said I was going to do on Friday.
You said you were going to have a quiet, chilled weekend, and you weren't going to...
It was the winter robe. You're going from summer to winter
robe. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
That's what he did. So, step. Did you do it?
Yes, I did. I got home. I got very well acquainted with my couch. Watched a lot of mindless, crazy television. And also, which is becoming a recurring theme in my life, I'm taking care of my pregnant sister. So, yeah.
Why have you been tasked with this? I mean, this doesn't seem right to me. You didn't ask for this.
I was not there when they were conceiving this child, but alas. No.
Well, that would have been very strange.
And
I mean, it would have been bordering on incest.
Yes.
That would have been horrible.
It's just weird.
Her boyfriend works out of town every now and then, so she doesn't want to stay alone, so she just comes over to my place. She has these weird cravings. She had chow mein a lot this weekend.
Why doesn't she pay you a retainer then? I mean, like, this is what...
As what?
Yeah, she should... No, she should pay you, like, I don't know, $500 for every day that she's with you. It's not a lot, but it's a token of, like, appreciation, because you're going to be running around feeding her cravings. You're keeping her company. You should say to her, look, I don't mind doing this for you, but it's basically, it's not about the money. In other words, you're not trying to profit off your sister.
It's about the convenience.
Make it $100 a day. It doesn't matter. The point is, you're like, listen, you've got to appreciate what I'm doing for you. Mm-hmm. And if people get something for nothing, they never appreciate it.
It's true, and then they never go away. But would that make you a mid-husband? You get a midwife, you'd then be the mid-husband.
Well, she's not going to help deliver the kid.
Well, at this rate, she's going to become so reliant on her.
Yeah, you might actually.
Eventually she'll be like, well, Sia, have you packed your bag for the big day? And you're like, what? Like, well, I'm going to do this by myself.
Look, that's a fair point, but we'll see. I'm still trying to just ease her into this thing. We'll see.
You know, in normal households, appreciation is shown through love and feelings. Not EFTs.
Money.
I'm just saying.
I know that's normal, but I always feel like that's exactly where families get it a bit messed up, is because they expect things from each other. Like,
yeah, so true.
And you know what happens? People just take advantage. People take you for granted, and then there's bad feelings afterwards. So your cumulative effect of not being grateful a couple of times ends up being, gee, she's so ungrateful, and then it ruins the relationship eventually. Or you get to a point where the two of you are just not talking anymore because you're sick of each other and nobody's confronting the real feelings. Also, if she's coming to your house when she's around you all the time, that's cool. She's your sister. You love her. That's taken...
Debatable at times.
Yeah, but I mean, the point is, you don't hate your sister.
True.
So she knows that she's welcome there. The point of this fee that I'm introducing is that she appreciates that you're going to some trouble now, that this is your quiet weekend. I mean, if you're anything like me or Mabale or Ben, more like me or Mabale, then you like a bit of your own time.
Mm.
You don't need someone around you every day.
Sorry.
And if you are around us all the time, then we get a little antsy.
Mm.
Like, I like a little bit of space. So if you're going to come into my space, there's got to be some, you know... It's not a transaction. I don't want you to get this wrong. It's like a token of appreciation.
But you know, people...
My time is worth a lot to me, even if I'm not doing anything for anyone else. So if you come into my time and my space, I'm giving something up for you. It's something real. I'm not just waiting for you to come and visit me.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
But I'm not tooting my own horn here, but I know people who are very similar in certain ways, like me, and that is, you know, you help all the time and you really want to extend a hand and the character flaw there is people will forever use that right. to their benefit. So
don't worry, Sia doesn't
it's
mind.
A beauty and the curse. Yeah,
Sia doesn't
good old
mind.
Faithful.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's the helper. He'll help.
Mm.
And I mean helper as like a job. I mean like the personality type, the helper. You know, someone who just can't go far enough to help everybody.
No, but I've now learned my own boundaries and my own lines as well.
Right,
I know
well,
how
actually,
to be able
the
to.
Whole the whole of the last 5 minutes has really just been for you to play for your sister so that she can.
I mean, it's now learning to stand up for myself. Before that baby gets born in my lounge.
Your weekend, good.
I didn't get to have the weekend that I wanted.
What is the weekend you wanted?
I wanted to be at home in the Free State that is so cold that the cold penetrates into your bone marrow.
You like that, huh?
I miss it.
Yeah, it's in you.
I miss it.
In that evil, cold, liquid metal blood of yours.
I miss, like, being outside at night and there are no horrible city lights and it's just moon and stars.
And when you breathe this mist.
Oh. Huh? Like I really wanted that because the whole family was at home this weekend.
Oh, and you were
and
here.
Then my ball and chain kept me here.
As in work or?
Mm. Or literal ball.
Well, I mean.
She's got a ball and chain downstairs as well.
Yeah, so.
In the dungeon.
It wasn't the best, but maybe next weekend I'll go home.
Yeah. You got any snow down there yet?
I have no idea, but my mom has been complaining about how freezing cold it is.
And you like that, huh?
I love it.
Oh, some people are just, we've all got different temperature settings. Hey, Ben, I tried your cold shower this morning.
And,
talking about temperature settings.
How'd it go?
Horrible, but I kind of see what you mean.
Did you get your breathing right? Did you?
Yeah, I was going, but then eventually I...
Yeah, it's all about the breathing.
Oh,
train yourself in the breathing, get through most of life's stressful situations.
Listen, I really hope I can keep it up. It was very unpleasant. I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to get out.
Yo.
Yeah, but that sense of achievement when you finish, though, it was like when you finish a gym session, you get that sense of achievement.
Yeah.
But what you missed,
you felt that.
So this is my strategy: you turn the tap on
a little bit.
You turn the tap on and you soap up your arms and legs without throwing your torso to the main element.
Yeah.
You then turn the tap off. Give yourself a good scrub, a good lathering down. That'll get the circulation going, get a bit of movement going.
Right.
And then once you're doing this, you're working on the breathing to get into the point where you're going to be splashed again with the cold water.
Oh.
So at this stage, you've got yourself into a different way of functioning, essentially, in those 10, 15 seconds. You're properly soaped up. Now you're ready. Now you turn the cold on again. Now your breathing is at a point of just more consistency.
Mm.
Consistency. And then what you do there is then you get into it.
Mm.
So you give yourself
a good wash.
Well, I tried
it. So you see, you're changing people's lives, Ben.
And the circulation, it's just got so many different health benefits. We'll get into that in the next hour if you actually want to break it down.
Definitely.
It's
cool. I actually read an article over the weekend about things that we do in the bathroom that we should stop doing.
Uh-oh.
Hot showers are really bad for you. Well, bad for your skin. They dry you out.
Yeah.
And you, as someone who moisturizes.
Well, that's why you moisturize, to counter that.
but hot showers will do a lot of damage.
See, this
they
cold
strip
shower
away all
thought,
the oils and,
ooh, I just
no,
even
I know,
wrapping my head around
I just,
it.
I thought about it this morning. I thought, I've been listening to Ben talking about this for like 2 weeks. I've got to give it a go. So I did.
Will you try it again tomorrow?
Well, I didn't die. Might just try it again tomorrow.
Let's not work with that.
Let's see how
thing.
It goes. I'm also feeling fat again, so I need to get back in the gym. I was sick last week, so I didn't go to gym, and I ate all kinds of crap. I've just got to get like back into shape too. I'm about 3 kilos overweight.
Mm.
Yeah, need to cut that
loose. Well, Gareth, that sounds like it could lead to depression. You know what relieves depression?
What?
Cold showers.
Wow, cold showers are just the solution for everything in life, aren't they?
You do anything fun this weekend?
Gareth, I actually did quite a bit of work, unfortunately. I've got a very busy time at the moment work-wise, which is good. But yeah, and then Daniel and I kind of reconfigured the apartment.
Oh.
So as it gets colder, we move higher up it.
Oh, right.
So we're onto our bedrooms now on like the top floor, which has confused the crap out of the cats.
You used to be on the middle floor because you've got like a apartment that's split across three levels.
Strange four sort of split level place. It's cold at the bottom where the lounge is. So we've moved like a winter lounge up one level and then the bedroom up another level.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I mean, the cats are just like, they love it because it's hotter.
Yeah.
And they cuddle around us, but it's just making Hopkins want to fight a bit more.
Yeah. How are the cats getting along?
They have their moments, but he's just a young, curious guy. But I still can't quite work out how he takes all the beatings that he does. He's so hardcore.
Yeah, but it's also because cats are... There's a hierarchy, and he's not learning his place in it yet.
Yeah, he's not. He needs to, because it's a bit tedious to keep showing him.
He doesn't like being told what to do yet. He'll learn.
Yeah, so it was a cool weekend in that respect. I went out for dinner on Friday, and I made a really cool video, almost there, of my whole golf experience last week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was so cool. And then I kind of realized I didn't have quite enough footage to make a perfect ending. So this whole thing of making videos is that you get better and better and better. And then because you spent all day editing it, you've seen it so often, when you eventually see it back, it's like, it's not that good.
Yeah, but I'm sure it is. It's so just, you get jaded.
You become so jaded. It's like writing, which I was just doing at the weekend. So yeah, I'm ready for weekend, actually.
You're very productive.
Yeah.
You know a woman of color who writes to us occasionally?
Yes.
She's in Holland. She sent an email that I think is quite interesting. She said, "Hey, happy June all. Like the prodigal son, I return, and with compliments all round." Do you want to hear some nice things here?
All right, sure.
"I'd be making a grave mistake if I didn't acknowledge the queen of the GCS, Her Majesty Sia." "You look absolutely delectable in the recent podcast photograph, Sia." "Gareth and Mabali. Gareth, among the many lessons you've taught me, I mostly value abandoning willful ignorance and religion. My family is appalled that I don't just accept faith anymore, but question it." Wow, I don't know if I'm solely responsible for that. "Like you, I find it irrelevant that I am a brown female. I'm not offended by brown people embarrassing themselves or by women being dumb. I don't identify as a brown woman. I identify as me. I'm responsible for my own actions. Everyone else can go and screw themselves. Mubs, women's stupidity irritates me as much as it does you. Women who fight their partner's lover instead of the culprit are idiots. I think I met that ex of yours who now lives here in the Netherlands. Great taste you have, girl."
Oh, snap.
"As much as I love Ben, since he recommended Black Mirror, I tend to take dubious approaches to his recommendation. That first episode in which the British Prime Minister humps a pig traumatized me."
Well, that was the easy one to ease yourself into the series.
"I never watched Black Mirror again."
Well...
"You did redeem yourself, Ben, in recommending the Netflix series Explained. This actually led me to a new feature proposal, Welcome to My Country. Wouldn't it be fascinating if the Gareth Cliff Show listeners could share odd rules and happenings in the countries in which they live? This one is especially for High Rob in the Netherlands." All right, so anyone who's listening to us in the Netherlands.
What a great idea.
"Prison cells are equipped with their own TVs, and some prisoners are allowed to go home on weekends."
Oh!
Isn't that nice?
That sounds like, such a good idea. That sounds like being in a hostel and boarding school. Yes. What?
I wouldn't mind going to prison if that was the case.
"Prisoners order takeaway meals and have them delivered."
Imagine.
"Some convicts stay at home even after they were sentenced. They wait for a letter from the Department of Correctional Services telling them where they may present themselves to start their sentences. This can take months, during which they're not allowed to take up employment. The state provides for them. And if they arrive at the prison without their IDs, they're sent back home to get another invitation."
Jeez.
Isn't that amazing?
It sounds pleasant. That's so what it is.
Fascinating stuff from women of color. Thank you very much, ma'am. You can get hold of us, like she did, by just emailing Gareth at cliffcentral.com, but it's probably easier if you'd like to WhatsApp. That's 0797482090, and you can call this morning 0861-555-189. I was on a plane on Friday.
Of course, you went to Durban.
Yeah, I went down to Durban and yesterday. And I went to Lanseria for the first time in ages. Uh-huh. Usually use O.R. Tambo. And it's such a nice little airport, you know?
It makes so much sense for a quick little...
I mean, their parking's a fuck-up at the moment, but that's because they're building more parking, because they never have enough.
That's where Henry van Bredel was spotted, remember?
Yeah, well, I don't care. Isn't he locked up now?
In Paulsmoor.
He's in Paulsmoor, yeah, so I think we're okay.
What did you get up to in Durban?
I just went down to just go and relax. I mean, the weather there is so nice compared to here. It was warm. It was 28, 29 degrees. Here I get back, it's like it says 21, but it feels like 14. You know,
it feels like your titty's falling off.
Well, this morning it was. This morning I got into the car and it said 1 degree. So who knows?
You know, I just don't want to look at any weather reports anymore. That I feel like just depresses us even more.
Yeah.
It's that crazy.
You know,
right now.
You know what makes it nice at that airport is there are just less people. However, I have to say, there were about four. I don't want to exaggerate any of this because it's just unbelievable, even if I don't exaggerate it. There are four couples, each with two kids.
Okay.
They looked exactly the same, and they were sitting in lounge with me. So there was one, two, three, four of them. The husband, the wife, the kids. They all sounded the same. They all dressed the same. They all looked the same.
What are you trying to say? Did you travel with a cult?
It felt like it was in a cult. All right, let me explain. This is cult leader Cliff. There's like a northern suburbs, white Johannesburg, South African stereotype that people want to fall into. The mom is like a hot mom, right? I mean, none of these women were unattractive.
Naturally hot or might have visited a consulting room or two.
May have visited a consulting room or two hot. You know what I'm talking
yes.
about. The hair is done really well. Usually she's wearing like boots. Some kind of jacket because it's chilly now.
Mm-hmm.
But then they've got the tight little leggings and their tight little legs.
There we go.
And then the husbands are these oafs. They're oafs. They all have big boops. And they talk really loud to each other. You know the kind of assholes I'm talking about, right? And then they've got exactly two kids each. And the kids are always screaming and making a racket. And the mom's like trying to... I don't know what they say to them or whatever, but they keep trying to keep them corralled into an area. I just looked at these four couples who were exactly carbon copies of each other.
Mm.
And I know we give a lot of parents shit, right? I mean, we often say, you know, there's no need for more kids and all the rest of it. And we all have family who have kids, and even though none of us have children, we don't hate children. But these families were so boring that I have absolutely no regret about being me, and there's not a part of me that wants to be them. It's the weirdest thing. Like, I just looked at them and I was like, oh, I'm glad I don't live like that. I'm so glad I'm not into that little cardboard box. You know, everybody copying each other, keeping up with the Joneses shit. The husbands are all like talking about their shares and their businesses, and like they're trying to one-up each other the whole time. It's just so boring.
Mm.
And the wives are all kind of, it's just, it's so obviously boring. I don't even know what to say about it. And I thought, maybe this is a Lanceria thing.
No.
Because at O.R. Tambo, you don't see that.
Well, it's people. Also about where you go. You go to a good restaurant on a Saturday morning.
Oh, that's
you
good
see
point,
all
yeah.
of the mothers right, who look alike.
Mm.
But, you know, you go to a Crawford school on a Saturday where the sports are being played. They you see the families very blatantly. But I guess, hey, that's what they want. That's their bliss. That's what they like the most. But, you know, over the weekend as well, I was out and I went out for lunch yesterday. And I saw, on the note of parents, I saw this mother who gave the best reaction to her kid was probably 3 years old having a tantrum. Oh,
what did she do?
She handled it like a G. It was just a one-liner of, look, we are not having this right now. We are leaving. And the child just went on rolling on the floor in the middle of the mall. And she's like, okay, cool. We're going. And she walked away and left the kid there. This kid like spiraled continuously on the floor. Everyone of us were like looking around like, should we intervene? Should we help? Should we pick the kid
up? Never intervene with someone else's child.
Hell no, you would get insane.
And I swear, because I thought, oh no, she's about to turn around and she's going to get the child. No. And she continued walking on. The child really, I think, Mabali, you were talking about this point last week sometime.
Yeah.
The child took some time, stopped crying, got their things, and continued running after the mother.
Yeah.
I wanted to give that mom in her SUV with tons of bags of groceries, her priorities in check, a proper slow clap. It was amazing to see.
That is pretty cool. I mean, you know, I
love it. She was badass.
Like yesterday, I got back and I saw my nephews, which I mean, I like to see them. They're cool kids, and they're fun. And as long as they're not tired, because you know when kids get tired, they get grumpy, obviously. Then they're a pleasure, and they're talking now, both of them, the 2-year-old and the 4-year-old, and they're having conversations with each other and with me, and you know that means you can communicate. I'm not good at communicating with like a 1-year-old who can't say anything.
You just appreciate the basics.
Well, yeah, like you want to be able to say, what did you do at school? Or, you know, how was your weekend? Or what did you do today? What did you see? You know, those kinds of things. And you can have a conversation with them. Otherwise, what, you're going to watch them drool?
Do you, like, indulge your nephews? So if one of them comes up to you with a drawing they did at school and it looks crap.
No, of course I'll say to them, wow, that's fantastic.
Oh, okay.
Please. You have to, right? You don't know. And also, there's no way you can judge, like, a 1 or a 2-year-old on their drawing skills. Even a 4 or 5-year-old, you only know whether they have any serious talent in that department much later on. So you have to give them the benefit of the doubt and encourage them.
I was expecting you to say, like, you'd be very blunt with them.
No, you got to tell them it's great.
I mean, that would be horrible. That's not your child, you know? Just, like, you have no business shattering their little dreams that are just starting out.
But I don't want to anyway, because I don't know. You've got to wait and see. That talent might develop. Mm. It is quite cool to kind of see how their personalities develop, though. That's really interesting. Seeing what they turn into, you know, what they become.
Mm.
That's kind of fun. Anyway, so, that was my weekend. It was nice and fun and very relaxing, and I hope you had one, too, that was relaxing and fun. And we've got to get stuck back into the week. There's stuff happening. I see that the North Korean peace talks are back on.
They're so hot and cold. I don't know what's going on anymore.
Unless someone in the Trump administration confused their Kims. Kim Kardashian and Kim Jong-un. Because, you know, that could happen in that administration.
I think it was a New York Post who had Kim Kardashian on their cover with Trump last week. And what do they call her? It was something so bizarre. But they were playing off this whole Kim Jong-un thing.
Well, you know what's so interesting
Kim
about
Thong that? Un, that's right, what they call her. Like, but this is the cover of the New York Post. They called her Kim Thong Un, pitches prez on prison reform. Like, when did we become so...
If you showed a person in 2014 that picture, they wouldn't know what the hell was going on.
Why they'd probably ask why these two reality stars in the Oval Office.
Yeah, like is it a new TV show? What would people have thought 4 years ago if they'd seen that picture? They would have gone, it's got to be a new show. That's Kim Kardashian. That's the guy who hosts The Apprentice. They wouldn't go, this is the president of the United States and he's talking to her about prison reform. Look, good for her. I mean, Kim Kardashian, I think, is... She's pretty much a wastrel. I don't know that we have much use for her in the world. But if she can help some prisoners, that would be great.
Mm.
Isn't that a nice thing? Trump meets Rump.
I mean...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yo. Kim Thong Un. I don't know if that's insulting to her or whether she'd consider it a compliment. You never know with those Kardashians. I mean, any attention is good, right?
But where's the credibility anymore?
Okay, but if she's helping prisoners, who cares, right? Good for her.
Mm.
Like, she's doing more than most of us.
Yeah, sure. In every way. In every way.
She really is.
Yeah.
So, maybe it's just time to stop trying to appear to be superior to Kim. You're not. Neither am I. We're less successful than she is in almost every department. I'm not having meetings with the President of the United States to do any good. And I'm certainly not sitting on the pile of money that she is. And I don't have this great marriage with Kanye. And kids. She's a mom. She looks good. She's on television. She's making money. She's influencing the world by helping prison reform. Good for her. Time we all stop being full of ourselves. People who knock the Kardashians. How much are you doing?
Well, I mean, none of them also know that any of us exist. And, you know, we spend so much of our time obsessing, getting angry, or loving what they do. These people don't know that we even exist.
Well, she knows that you two exist because she marveled at a coin when she met you.
She did meet us. We have met Kim.
I forgot about it that.
It wasn't the greatest moment of mine or Mabali's life, but we did meet her.
Yeah.
Oh my god, look at that.
What was it, a 5 cent coin?
It was a 5 cent coin.
Yeah, okay.
All right, well, here's something quite disturbing. I mean, the petrol price has gone up, and we'll talk about that probably a little later with Anthea, and maybe Mubs has got something in her news. But I'm amazed at how much the fuel levy has brought up in terms of money, how much money has been collected by the fuel levy. Because, you know, it comes straight off the price that you pay for petrol. So it's another stealth tax. $238 billion. Isn't that crazy? That's in 6 years. $238 billion rand. Now, where is that gone? I know they say a lot of it goes to fixing roads. A lot of it goes to building infrastructure so that we can drive our cars. 238 billion rand. I want government to account for that. Like, how about we get a forensic audit of the fuel levy fund? Wouldn't that be a good idea? That's a huge amount of money. I mean, that's $250 billion. $250 billion.
Isn't that rand?
Sorry, rand, sorry. I fucked it up. $250 billion. It's still a fortune. I don't know what our total budget is for education, but, I mean, that's a huge amount of money. And that could do a lot. So I would like to know what's happening with that. And maybe you know. I understand also a lot of the fuel levy goes to paying for what they call third-party insurance on the roads, or what is it? It's called the Road Accident Fund, the RAF, where people who are injured or hurt or killed in accidents on the road, this fund very often will pay out to those people. I mean, it all goes to the lawyers, and the lawyers have to fight with each other, and the Road Accident Fund tries to pay as little as possible because it's trying to conserve its revenue streams, but as far as I understand, it doesn't total anywhere near 238 billion rand, unless I'm missing something. So if you know something about where this money goes, I'd love to have an explanation. Because now the fuel price is going up quite considerably. I saw a tweet just now from somebody who said, and here are the numbers, 95 petrol in May, 14 rand 97. In June, 15 rand 79. It's up a whole rand almost. 93 petrol, 14 rand 72 to 15 rand 54. And diesel, 13.34 to 14.19. So I would think that that's quite high. Going up a whole rand. And it's obviously to do with Iran and all this other stuff. And who knows what the effects of you know, OPEC's continued control, monopolizing and completely adjusting this price to whatever their wants and desires are. But I think it's something to think about. Anyway, let's get into some serious news. Let's get into the five things you need to know with Mavali Moloi. And this is what you get at 6:30 every weekday morning. A lot of people rely on it so that they can figure out what's going on in the world around them. So here, without further ado, is Mavali.
Well, you might remember how the retired Deputy Chief Justice Dikgang Moseneke had ordered that 135 families who were all affected by the Life Esidimeni tragedy should be paid out by the 19th of June. And now it has emerged that the Gauteng provincial government is going to be diverting funds from its department to pay the 160 million rand due to the families of those victims. But the DA's Jack Bloom says, look, while he is relieved that the families will finally be compensated, it is unfortunate that the money is being diverted from funds that are needed for service delivery.
Ah, people get screwed. Our Life Esidimeni people have been screwed, and now everybody's going to get screwed so we can pay out the Life Esidimeni people. And all of this because of government incompetence.
Then there is a community group that has been grabbing headlines and subsequently getting attacks online for being racist and stirring racial tensions. They go by the name Gatvol Cape Town. They are calling for an independent Western Cape without black people from the Eastern Cape. The group were formed last month as land grab protests in the province started in Hermanus and then later in Mitchell's Plain. Mm. They claim to represent colored people, and most supporters are from areas where service delivery protests are rife. So they're getting their 5 minutes of fame with news publications now giving them the airtime. And as a result, all types of South Africans are now getting involved, having their 2 cents worth, accusing these guys of creating racial tension. Gatfall, Cape Town. What? Cape Townian. Sorry, Gatfall, Cape Townian. Check them out if you want to.
What a name for a party. Are they making...
No,
any...
they're not a party. They're just a party. They're just a community group.
Right. It's like a ladies' tea group. Wouldn't it be funny if the right wing ends up being like colored people in Cape Town? Huh? I mean, wouldn't that be, like, ultimately hilarious if that ended up being the hot seat, the hotbed of the right wing in South Africa? Jeez, Gatfall Cape Townians.
Mm-hmm.
Great name.
Now, in an announcement that some are calling dramatic, our police minister, Bheki Cele, has ordered the reopening of investigations into some high-profile murders.
Ooh.
These include those of Bafana Bafana goalkeeper Senzo Meyiwa, Northwest businessman Wandile Bozwana, and Rustenburg whistleblower Moss Phakwe.
Okay.
Yeah, look, in the Meyiwa matter, Bheki Cele said that it was unacceptable that no arrests have ever been made, even though there were witnesses present when the goalkeeper was shot dead. And his girlfriend, Kelly Khumalo, you know, taking a lot of heat from that situation because she was apparently one of the people present in the home when the incident happened. So the police minister saying, no. There were witnesses there. How come nobody has ever been arrested? Now, in the case of Bozwana, he was killed in a dramatic daylight shooting back in 2015 with no fewer than 9 bullets that were pumped into a car in which he was a passenger in Pretoria. 4 men did get charged with his murder. But Bozwana's friends have always maintained that there was a mastermind who is still at large.
Hmm.
Yes.
He and his girlfriend had gone for manicures and pedicures at a salon in Sandton. And then his girlfriend had her hair trimmed. And then they got to Pretoria where they were going. And these guys, these 3 guys, I think it was 3 or 4 guys, just hopped out of their cars and fired 9 bullets into him.
Yeah.
Bozwana. And Baloyi sustained 2 gunshot wounds. It's the girlfriend. And then 4 men accused of the murder and attempted murder pleaded not guilty to the charges. But they say that those are just the footmen.
Yes. They've always maintained that there was a mastermind who ordered the hit. And then in the case of the corruption whistleblower, Moss Phakwe, he was killed back in 2009. He had handed over a corruption report of Rustenburg local municipality to the local government minister. He had managed to dig up evidence showing multi-million rand fraud in the Northwest's drought relief projects. And then he got killed. So, yeah.
Very suspicious.
Bheki Cele is not impressed, and therefore, some of these cases are being reopened.
Okay.
Yeah. What have we got here?
I've got something.
Sure, do
Meg it. Meg says, I'm listening to you guys live for a couple of minutes, but then I'm going to go to sleep and wake up again at 9 and listen to the podcasts.
Oh,
not because he's bored, because he's tired. He says, it's siesta time for me. Listen to you all in 3 hours. Someone else said that they started day drinking on Sunday. And now they're extremely hungover, not winning.
Sure.
Yeah, look, you've got to be careful if you're going to start day drinking because you need to know when to stop.
Hmm. Someone says here, I am colored. I live in Cape Town. I was not invited to this Gatfall Cape Townian group.
You can check them out online and then, you know, maybe try and get in touch with one of them, sit in on a meeting, find out what they're all about. You know?
That's Greg. Greg says, I want to know what this meeting is. And he says, imagine if Ashwin is their spokesperson.
I'm not laughing.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah, lastly, a Johannesburg Metro Police officer found herself having to go above and beyond her call of duty last week She was forced to stop her role as law enforcement officer and assume the duties of a midwife.
Oh.
Yep, she was on the road and then she got pulled over by an Uber driver who was in a state because his pregnant passenger had gone into labor.
This is your future, Sia.
JMPD Inspector Frida Ramefo was on her way home at the end of her shift when all of this happened on the M1 in Johannesburg. And then, yeah, she got into midwife mode. She helped deliver that baby. It was a beautiful thing. Baby is healthy. Mother is healthy. You know, just one of those nice stories for a change,
okay,
I suppose.
That's great. Good.
I mean, what do you do if somebody goes into labor right there in front of you? Because I know what I would do. I would run around with my hands flailing in the air, screaming like a cartoon character. Somebody would have to come and slap me across the face just to get me to, like, think sensibly, because that's what I would do. Thank goodness for people like Inspector Ramefo.
Yeah, thank goodness. All right, Bitcoin is trading at $7,693.22 and Ethereum at $617.78. That's your crypto update for the day. Let's turn our attention now to Ben and see what's happening in the world of sport.
Familiar scenes as the Springboks played like absolute crap against Wales.
I heard a lot of people bitching and moaning about this online.
This match was about money. It was only about money. Rusty Erasmus alluded to the fact that it was a money game, but even that was an absolute failure because, okay, the weather wasn't so great.
They played in Washington, D.C.,
yeah,
right?
It was cold, it was wet. So the stadium had a capacity of just over 45,000 people. All of 21,357 arrived. And it was mostly people who were already South African supporters.
Mm.
They weren't people going, all right, let's go watch some rugby. No, that wasn't the case. World Rugby thought, let's take the Springboks and the Welsh to America. America will then love rugby. No, that's not what happened whatsoever. Like, it was a second string side for both sides. And it's predictably, the first half was very boring. But what always just kind of gets me a bit is that these guys are still professional rugby players. They're not the best box team, no doubt about it. But surely they can catch and pass and tackle when they need to. There was just moments in that match where it was just so just boring, dreadful. And then to add insult to the injury, the box did manage to actually come back from behind and get a lead, only for it to be thrown away at the end with two charge down kicks from young fly-half Robert Dupreer. I'm not saying he lost the match, but he certainly sure as hell didn't win it. 22-20. We must move our attention, though, to the main Bok team, the main show, and that is this coming weekend at Ellis Park.
Oh, yeah?
Saturday, the Springboks will take on the English, and there'll be a full-strength team led by Siya Kolisi, the new captain.
Are we excited, Ben?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, of course we are.
All right.
If you did stay up for the match on Saturday, consider yourself a die-hard fan. I hope Sari sends you a jersey or something. It's not going to happen, but, you know,
Think we'll even get 20,000 people at Loftus?
Sure.
You reckon?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. So, on to other rugby news and the Blitzbox. They were back in action and looking to kind of get back on track to win the world title. They made it to the final, but unfortunately had lost to Fiji. Now, Fiji are the one team ahead of them on the standings. So, well, something bad needs to happen to Fiji, basically, in Paris for the final round. I'm not saying bad as in they're going to fall down the stairs or be kidnapped. I'm just saying they might need to, like, lose a quarterfinal match or just, I don't know, get food poisoning. But it looks like Fiji are going to win the World Champs. So I hate to break it to you, but they have been the form team in the second half of that season.
Okay.
You know, last week we spoke about cannabis being a big deal for American sports stars because they've got to deal with the pain. Now, there's no bigger sport where pain is involved than the NFL. Like, your average season or your average lifespan of certain NFL players is like 3 years. Mm. After that, you're basically dribbling from the mouth and need an adult nappy. Why? Because you're just constantly playing in pain, the concussions, the pain-killing addiction, the whole thing. So Mike James has actually asked for official use of cannabis.
Oh, really?
Now, he is a guy who had, well, like any other NFL player, they get to the point where they'll do whatever it takes to get onto the field. If you watch Any Given Sunday, you'll see there the Dennis Quaid character, not only is this greedy bitch of a wife slapping his face to get him on to play, but also the medication that he has to take just to get back in the match is life-threatening. So when you become addicted to this, once the fame dies and your careers end, you then become addicted to other things like cocaine and daytime TV and strip clubs. So it's a slippery slope for these guys, but cannabis could be the thing that could actually save everybody. So Mike James took a massive risk. He went to the NFL with a TUE, therapeutic use exemption, yes, and said, look, I need cannabis, otherwise my career is screwed. And of course, NFL, like any other sports administration governing body, is very set in their ways. They're very traditional. Now, James has actually been tested positive twice for the use of cannabis, which is a no-no. You can't do, apparently. But it's the only thing that he can use that deals with the pain. And if he's on the cannabis, he's not on the really bad drugs. Now, what happened is that he became addicted when he found out he could acquire these drugs more freely than originally thought. So, NFL, you've got a massive responsibility to actually do the right thing here. More and more players are going into... I mean, Will Smith did a movie about concussions.
Yeah.
More and more players are literally... Once they finish NFL, you might as well take them around the back and just shoot them in the head. Because these guys are burdens to society because they become so addicted to these painkillers. And they can't walk. They become massively aggressive. Whereas with cannabis could maybe actually be the thing that's going to give these guys some sort of a life during the game and after the game in the physical sense. Look, I also believe they should stop wearing helmets and just tackle each other rather than fly into each other. But that's a different story for a different day. What's really exciting right now is the French Open. Now we'll be moving into the business end where people with really long or interesting names fall away to people who are actually really, really talented. If you look at the women's draw, we're into the fourth round and all eyes predictably are on Serena Williams versus Maria Sharapova.
Right.
Yep, that match is going to happen. Sharapova, to her credit, nobody likes her, she smashed Pliskova 6-2, 6-1. Pliskova is a former World Number 1. Not former as in like back in the day, as in recent former World Number 1. And 6-2, 6-1, Serena Williams beats Georgias from Germany. Georgias.
Yeah, you've struggled with that one before.
Yeah, she beat her 6-3, 6-4, which then lines her up for a match against Sharapova. Now, we all know Sharapova is just the most annoying oink of an individual. So she wrote a book, and Serena said she was absolutely surprised how she features so heavily in Maria Sharapova's book. She wrote, the gall of this woman. Her book is Unstoppable. That's the title of her memoir. Unstoppable.
You've never liked Sharapova, Ben. Let's not pretend you've suddenly developed the ability to be objective.
From day one, Gareth. I always loved Serena. Sharapova, no. And there's good reasons behind it. So Sharapova believes that Serena hates her because she found the greatest tennis player of all time crying in the locker room after Sharapova beat her at the 2004 Wimbledon champs. Serena's like, bitch, please. Everyone cries after winning something that big. It's the Wimbledon final. What do you want me to do? Go out and have drinks. She was distraught.
Serena doesn't have a reason to hate Sharapova. She's like 19-2 as far as...
And this is where I'm going with this.
So please, Sharapova, calm yourself.
Sharapova believes that's why Serena hates her. Serena doesn't care about her. This does not care about her. This whole thing about a massive rivalry. Serena Williams has beaten Maria Sharapova 18 times in a row. In this streak, Sharapova has won 3 sets of her. 3 sets. Just 3 sets. So it's a bit of a mountain of a molehill kind of thing. So Serena's kind of laughing it off. But in the book, she just mentions her all the time. She said, look, I was really surprised to read this book and find out it was so much about me. So yeah, that's going to happen. But Sharapova is in fantastic form. So as Serena rightly points out, she's going to be a favorite going into this match. But it's just so funny how she's just so obsessed with Serena, and of good reasons. She then goes on the book and said, Serena and I should be friends. We have the same passion, but we are not. I think to some extent we have driven each other. Maybe that's what it takes. No, she doesn't care about you. How many times must the world say this? Serena Williams does not care. She wouldn't give you the steam of her own piss, as they say in the classics.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yo.
So Maria believes, again, that once tennis is over, they'll probably be good friends. No, Serena will be away from you, and no one will be your friend. Why must I be the one that has to point this out? I mean, come on.
Because everyone else in sports is too polite.
Yeah. So that match will be taking place today. It is huge. Garbine Muguruza will take on Cyrenenko. And then Sorry, there's just too many other names.
Mugarudha.
There's far too many other names. Basically, put it this way, we're into the business end of things. It's the fourth round. In the men's side of things, Djokovic is through to the quarterfinal.
Mm.
How exciting is that for everyone who likes Djokovic? He'll take on an Italian guy. And Dominic Thiem, he's also gone through. He beat Kei Nishikori. That is a big result for him. And then Zverev, the young German, had another five-setter. He must be tired as all hell, but he's young. And he has lots of hair, so he'll bounce back from this. But he'll now take on Thiem in the quarterfinals. Other side of the draw, as expected, Nadal is powering through, so he'll take on a German guy called Matera. 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 It is a very strange name, that.
You know, Ben, it's becoming ridiculous.
It's only in tennis, though, guys. These names are only in tennis. Seriously, I can rattle through the Sri Lankan batting order with more ease and finesse than these European tennis players. Speaking of which, other tennis players, Kevin Anderson, South Africa's lone chance, he's still there. He'll be playing the Argentine Schwartzman.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marin Cilic will take on Fognini, an Italian man who I never battle with pronouncing. And then Isner will take on Del Potro. So exciting times there for the tennis. And finally, in golf, Bryson DeChambeau won the Memorial yesterday. Huge win for him, massive, massive win. And then Thor Bjorn Olesen also won on the European Tour. He beat the informed Molinari brother. That's about for the sport today, but lots more tomorrow because it is 9 days until Russia 2018.
Wow, just around the corner.
So I'm going to bring you a lot more on the countdown to from now. Up until now, it's been mostly comical things from here and there, but we'll focus on the football. Because
okay.
That's what's going to happen. Oh, and finally, Kokisa Rabada won pretty much everything at the Cricket SA Awards.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's
that
very nice.
Never really. He won 6 awards, Gareth. He's the first player in history to do that twice. He won Player of the Year, Players Player of the Year, Bowler of the Year, Human of the Year, Cricket.
Human of the Year.
Cricket of the Planet.
Human of the Year.
Best bowler with an arm. Like, everything. Everything. He just won it. He didn't win Women's Player of the Year.
Oh, well.
Which.
Yeah.
That's a disappointment.
Fair enough.
Okay, well, next year, maybe, once he has his transitioning, then maybe he can get that one as well.
Look, he's 23. He's won so much, he might have to Bruce Jenner in order to just actually stay relevant. Because we're going to get
tired of... Gotta keep winning.
We're going to get tired of all this.
All right, very good. Thank you, Ben. Let's go to Anthea and see what's happening in your money. Here she is, Anthea Gardner with the Money Shot. All right. How are you, Anthea?
Thank you. A little bit chilly this morning. Winter is upon us.
Yeah. Do you still do your swims in the winter?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah. I was cycling out at the Cradle yesterday, and it was freezing.
But what time did you go?
One of those. 8 o'clock in the morning. I was on
traffic,
my bike.
Anthea.
I was at the Cradle. There's no traffic at the Cradle. Give me a hard time, Ben Karpinski.
Well, you go for your cold swims, he goes for cold showers.
And why would anybody do that?
Well, you must ask him. He'll tell you in the next hour.
No, that's silly. I mean, come on.
No, really. You need to pay attention.
At least I'm getting fit by swimming.
Yeah, well, at least I'm not clogging traffic in the Cradle.
Oh, this is all right. Ugly.
So the JSE ended 4.5% lower in May, almost nowhere to hide.
I know. It was terrible. It really was just a story of emerging market risk off. So the U.S. is growing exponentially. In fact, on Friday, we had the U.S. non-farm payrolls number come out in, what is it, April. 223,000 jobs were created. I mean, Wall Street were expecting 190,000 jobs. So that just shows you they are powering. The U.S. economy is powering ahead. Needless to say, the U.S. dollar is stronger and everything else is just kind of falling by the wayside. It really is. When I say risk off, what that means is that people are running away from risky equities or shares into safe havens. And the safe havens are U.S. Treasuries, German Bunds, which were down, I think, 20 basis points in the year.
I've met a lot of people who say to me, the thing that's missing in their life is a German Bund.
Yeah. Okay, I got that. You're having a go so early in the morning. Also, gold and Japanese yen was where people were running to. But what they don't want is emerging market risk, and we're emerging markets.
Shit.
So they're selling us.
If the U.S. does well, it's a problem for us right now.
It is, I'm afraid. And because we've spoken about
and we
this
thought
before.
Trump would fuck it up, but look at what's happening.
Yeah.
You know,
all right.
We
How
were
long
bargaining.
Has he been in power now?
He's been a year and a bit, year and a half. Mm.
That's interesting because it's exactly that. And so the average earnings.
Don't worry, we've still got another 2.5 years of him. So
oh, great.
We're good.
Can't wait. average earnings was up as well. And unemployment, the lowest it's been since kind of, I don't know, the dot-com bubble or pre-bubble, I should say, dot-com era. It's now at 3.8%.
Okay.
And that's phenomenal. That's basically more than full employment. Full employment, I think, is around 4.5%, is considered to be 4.5%.
Wow.
So they really are.
So the people
they're creating jobs.
People have jobs in America.
And it's not just the lower paying jobs. You know, it's jobs that are making money as well.
That's amazing.
And so while the U.S. is carrying on and the economy is going strong, I'm afraid in Europe, it's quite the other way around.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you've seen this weekend, Spain, got a new prime minister.
Yes.
Yeah, Rajoy was replaced by, I don't know what his first name is, someone Sanchez. Everyone's comparing him to Antonio Banderas.
Why?
Because apparently he's good looking.
Oh, really?
Not my type.
President Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's have a look. All right.
And in Italy, they had a kind of a, well, they started the week with the 5-star anti-establishment party, who, by the way, is led by a 31-year-old, Luigi Di Maio, vying for power. And the problem with what would happen if they came into power is they're anti-Euro, and so they would want potentially a snap election as soon as July, which could turn into an Italy leaving the euro. So that was a big deal. But then later on in the week, we discovered a little statement in their constitution saying that they actually couldn't just leave. Italy couldn't just leave the euro. So kind of it all settled down again. But politics is a problem in Europe at the moment. Have you found a picture of...
Yes, his name is Pedro Sanchez Perez Castellón. He's a Spanish economist and politician. Well, economist is always a good sign, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's also Secretary General of the Spanish Socialist Workers' Party. Been holding office for the second time after winning a leadership election in June 2017. He is without a seat in the Congress of Deputies. Yeah, see what he's
doing. Oh, Lord, he is.
Oh,
yeah, okay, no.
He can Pedro our Sanchez.
See, offering him a seat
we
right
approve.
Now.
We approve.
Yes, that smile.
That's a good-looking older gentleman.
You can deliver bad economic updates, but as long as you keep smiling, Pedro.
So we'll be following Spanish elections now, shall we?
This is like Justin from Canada all over again.
Oh, God. All right, bring it home. Bring
okay,
it home.
Sorry.
We saw a little bit of a recovery.
What I like about this guy is he's an atheist. He's the first atheist prime minister in all of Europe.
Is he married?
Oh.
That's interesting. I didn't know that about him.
All right, so carry on. Sorry.
All right, shall we talk about the Rand for a little bit?
Of
course. Are we all focusing again?
Yes, yes. Right.
I was always here.
Thank you, Ben. So the Rand just, in my opinion, hasn't done as well as I would have expected to have done after the S&P left our credit rating unchanged and called our economy stable. In fact, it weakened because the U.S. dollar is so much stronger through the week. You know, we're now, 1267 or 1270, somewhere around there. But then we did have some economic data that wasn't so good. So our trade balance for the first part of this year, January to April, printed a deficit of 17.65 billion rand.
We don't need that.
No, we don't. This is compared to last year, the same period, we had a surplus of 8.5 billion rand. And then also the Purchasing Managers Index was released, and it also came off a little bit, 49.8 compared to the previous 50.9. And I think, again, it's just talking to the fact that South Africa has structural economic issues that we need to deal with. There is no magic Ramaphosa wand, I'm afraid.
Mm.
And then globally, oil slipped to $75 a barrel during the week last week, also under pressure because OPEC and its allies are saying that they may pump more oil. Needless to say, they want to take advantage of the higher oil price. I don't know where these shale producers are at the moment, because you would have thought they'd come online and that they'd keep the oil price in check, but no. And unfortunately, this little retreat in the oil price hasn't helped us at all, because the AA, I'm sure you know by now, announced a petrol price increase, 5%.
We were talking about it earlier. Now, what is that because of what's going on in Iran? What's the story?
Yeah, because of the oil price, which hit $80 a barrel, and because of the weaker rand, basically. Yeah. And it's ugly, right? It's really not a good sign.
Yeah, that's really not good.
I don't think, even though the oil price has come back a little bit, I don't think you're going to see a decrease in the oil price the following month.
Well, the dangerous thing about the petrol price going up is that it affects the cost of everything, right? Everything goes up when the petrol price goes up.
Unfortunately, that's exactly right. So you think that it squeezes your wallet because you're putting petrol in every week or 2 weeks, whatever it is. But actually, things that are being delivered, goods that are being delivered, your food, for example, is being transported using petrol. And so on top of the 1% VAT increase and inflation, we now have this.
All right, but if oil's come off the $80 a barrel, it could go back in the next month.
Yeah, it could go either.
Yeah, but you seldom see prices dropping. Like, once they're there, they're there.
Yeah, especially when it comes to the stuff that's put on the shelves. The petrol price may go up and down, but nobody else decreases their prices when petrol goes down. You're right, Ben. All right, company results?
Yeah. So before I get into the results, just to let you know that Steinhoff Africa Retail have decided to revert back to the Pepcor name.
I'll bet you, because anything with Steinhoff in it, didn't I say to you, is like poison?
I know, that's exactly. In fact, last week you said,
exactly.
Why are they still keeping Steinhoff in the name? And they must have heard you.
I'm telling you, I'm available for consulting to all these stupid firms if they just pay attention.
All right. And then kind of the big ones we want to cover today. Spar, they reported earnings growth of 14% year-on-year. Not a terrible result. South Africa, stronger growth than expected, which was very nice for a change. It was a bit of a story of cost containment and lower tax rate that they had achieved. So their tax previously was 26.2%. It's now 23.7%, which is great. And then also they're diversifying into pharmaceuticals. So they acquired a pharmaceutical business, paid 45 million rand for it. So small, but I think what you're going to see in Spar, and I haven't seen it yet, is potentially a Dis-Chem or a Clicks type of offering. You know, where you walk in, you buy your groceries, and you go to the pharmacy to get your medication. And in fact, this pharmaceutical business that they spoke about particularly did very well in the high-end script, so the expensive medication. I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I imagine that that's where they're going. You know, Spar is currently trading on a 16.8 times earnings multiple. And if you compare that to like the other retailers, ShopRite, Pick and Pay, which are 19 and 21 respectively, Spar kind of looks cheap, actually.
Yeah.
And then they've also got the offshore business, but the offshore business is Ireland, okay, Switzerland, not so great, you know, so there's always something. They can never get it perfectly right, eh? I mean, and while we're talking about retailers, Mr. Price reported, there's a funny old thing. They raised their interim dividend by 22%, obviously at the half results, and now they're cutting their final dividend by 6%, and that, unfortunately, is kind of one of Mr. Price's things, you know, nice dividend payer. Just generally speaking, local store sales were up 8.3%, non-South African stores up 3.8%, and online sales up 11.5%.
Oh, really?
And I think Mr. Price have got it back, because you remember last year we spoke about how they just got it wrong. Like, their clothing items were wrong, people weren't shopping there. They just got it wrong. As you do, you know, Woolworths got it wrong last year as well, like especially in the fashion lines. But Mr. Price seem back on track, basically.
Okay. Well, I'm sure they'll take an upswing. Yeah. That's very nice. If they're taking more dividends, that means they're making more profits, usually. All right. And then how much would I have to pay to have lunch with Warren Buffett?
Well, you'd have to pay more than $3.3 million. But that's you and seven friends.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, I mean, so I could take my buddy Ben Sia and still have space for Anthony.
By the way, I'm not contributing to this money thing right. because I don't
I'm
have
paying
it.
Into the auction, right? He's going to do the auction.
Okay, I mean, as long as it's understood that I am not footing any of this.
Do you know how much
$3 million?
Do you know how much we'll make after we get advice from Warren Buffett?
Ah, here's the catch.
He's not going to talk business.
The only thing you're not allowed to ask him is what he's going to invest in next.
Okay.
That's a bit of a downer, right?
So what do you, why else want to talk to? We're talking about cars.
Tell me about Omaha, Nebraska.
And why you have McDonald's for breakfast every morning and still drink Coca-Cola even though you know it's bad for you. Why?
He's still alive and he's richer than us.
This is true. He's 80-odd years old, this man is.
Considerably richer than us.
Yeah, so that was an auction that they did. Previously, I think the highest was 3.5 million rand, and not by anonymous. The interesting thing, I think, in 2010...
Someone anonymous? They didn't even tell any... Imagine that. You go to lunch with Warren Buffett, but you don't tell anybody. Like, yeah, I had lunch with someone the other day. Wink, wink, hint, hint, nudge, nudge. You would tell people, right?
If I had lunch with Warren... If I had $3.5 million to waste on having lunch with Warren Buffett, I would tell everybody.
very important phrasing there, Anthea. So you don't actually value his time. That's good.
Well, he's worth 82.5 billion US dollars.
So what?
Do you know what is interesting? In 2010 and 2011, a guy called Ted Wessler, I don't know how to say his name, paid $2.5 million for each lunch, 2010 and 2011, now works for Warren Buffett.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh. So it might be a way to get yourself hired.
Into Berkshire Hathaway. Ah. Not a bad thing, eh? Mm-hmm. So if I had lunch with him, I'd probably sell him my business. That's what I would do. And then just go lie on an island or something. That would be the way to go. Who cares?
Right. About his so you next can't investment. Ask him what his next investment's going to be. That's the only thing you can't do. All right. Well, I don't know who's going to pay for that, but there's bound to be some idiot.
Indeed.
Right. Thank you very much, Anthea. There we go. That's the money shot. If you want to hear any of that again or you missed some part of it, then all you need to do is wait for the podcast, which will be up imminently. Anthea Gardner and the money shot. It's time to turn our attention to Sia Sangweni and see what's going on in Said by Sia.
I love being at the intersection of good news and amazing scientific research and discovery. So
that's a particularly bad one on William Nicol, isn't it? That intersection.
In this instance, it's a great one because today I have news because the scientists in the UK have now created the first ever 3D printed cornea, folks, specifically for humans, which could restore visions for millions of people across the world. Now, this is the first time ever. The cornea is the outermost layer of the human eye, and of course it plays an important role in focusing vision, but unfortunately there is a significant shortage of corneas available for transplants, with more than 10 million people worldwide who are currently requiring surgery to prevent blindness as a result of a number of different diseases. So in addition, almost 5 million people suffer from total blindness due to corneal scarring caused by burns or diseases as well. And now scientists in the UK, specifically at Newcastle University, have a proof of concept research and has now been published in Experimental Eye Research. Now the study shows how stem cells from a healthy donor were mixed with the likes of collagen to create a solution that could be printed. So imagine in less than 10 minutes, a simple low-cost 3D bioprinter has successfully projected a human cornea. So the dimensions of the printed tissue were originally taken from an actual cornea, and by scanning simply a patient's eye, they could use the data to rapidly print a cornea which matched the size and shape. So look at that, folks.
I think that's fantastic.
In 10 minutes? You would expect something this massive to take hours or at least weeks, but look at how fast science is moving. Well, this is awesome.
That's really good news for people who've got eye problems, because now it's always been an issue of how do you make such a thing, where do you get such a thing, you have to transplant it from someone else's eye, it's very messy, it's very tricky. I mean, this is terrific. This is really, really good news. They can do the lenses, they can do the corneas. Soon they'll be able to help patch up the retina when it becomes a problem.
Ooh.
Then we're going to be in Easy Street when it comes to vision. You'll be able to see clearly until you're 1,000 years old.
But let's not get too excited for now. It's still proof of concept. But
come on.
Huge, huge congratulations to the team at Newcastle University. And
what
all
is
the
that
best.
Stuff called that they have in Wakanda? What's the metal called?
I did tell you that I fell asleep somewhere in the movie.
Adamantine or something.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know. That's what we need. Need to discover that shit. Then we'll be sorted. All right, very good.
That's just said by Sia for this Monday morning.
Said by Sia to get you started on a Monday. Let's get going.
This is CliffCentral.com.